because I do need to get this out early. We won't even get through what we need to today. 2 Timothy 2:15. Somebody has that? Read that out, would you please?
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Okay, so what's the key word in that?
Study.
We have the only Bible that tells us to study our Bible. You go to other Bible versions, they take that out. They don't want you studying your Bible. We are Bible believers. And it is very good to read the Bible, but yet we are told that we need to also study it. We're also told that we are to meditate upon it. So there's one of our key verses we use in our church. And the second key verse we use is chapter 3 of 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So it's profitable for us to study, to read it, to know the Bible. I mean, it's basically our manual. And so, those are some verses. Go over to Romans chapter 13. Well, I don't know if I wrote it down, so just skip that. I think I didn't put the whole verse down. So, what we're going to do is study the book of Ephesians. Okay? And so, let me give you just a little bit of background about Ephesians. It was written by, it's one of the church epistles. It's written by Paul when he was in jail. And written around 55 to 60 AD. And of course, it's to a church that's in Ephesus. Now, Ephesus is a city in western Turkey. It's basically just opposite of Athens, Greece, and Corinth. So it's about 300 miles east of that. So we'll see. In the New Testament, you'll see Paul going to Corinth, and he established a church in Corinth. He established one in Ephesus. They're about 300 miles apart. One's in Turkey and one's in Greece. And so that's a pretty good distance, but not that far. And most of that was by water. In the city of Ephesus, though, is the temple of Artemis, which is they worship the goddess Diana there. And so a false religion, basically. Big statue of Diana is at this place. And this temple was one of the seven wonders of the world. I mean, it's this huge complex. You know, it's kind of like what's the deal that's in Greece? I want to call it the Para, this big building. Oh, well. But I mean, it's like this, like we would have like the Capitol. You know, it's this huge building. And so it's a engineering feat, and in this temple they worshipped Diana, and it happens to be in the city of Ephesus. So it's the capital of the Roman province of that area. It's a commercial center. It's a key city in that time of history. So again, Paul's in jail when he writes this, and I just want to show you a little bit. I don't even know if I get with the lesson today, but I want to show you a little bit about Paul's writings. And this is, again, I had Gary read Hebrews. No, he was in 2 Timothy. Let me get back to where I'm at. Gary read the one verse, I read the other one. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16 again. Because I'm going to give you just a little bit of key of how Paul writes. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So the Bible that we have is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine.
Okay.
What is doctrine?
Biblical truth.
Okay, it's basically, yes, but it's basically teaching that biblical truth, okay? So it's basically, I'll just put that on there. Alright, so what's the next one? It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. And then the next one is what? What is reproof?
Truth that you can go back to.
Correction.
No, you're not there yet. Anything, Carrie?
Verification.
I always think of when you, like, if you proofread something, it shows you your errors. If you go over, it shows what's wrong.
Okay. Reproof is, it shows error. Okay? So the Bible is given to us to know truth. Then it also reproves us. It shows us when we err from that truth. Okay? And then the next one, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for teaching us God's word, for reproof. When we go, it shows us where we go off the rails at. Because if you're studying the Bible, you'll see the truth, and it's like, oh, okay, it's showing when we go off there. And then the next one is correction. So that correction there is how to fix that error that we have. How to fix, and I'm just going to put here, false doctrine. Again, people get weird stuff. They begin to teach. They pull out of the Bible. They do not catch the biblical truth. Reproof by studying the Bible to show us, hey, that error that you're doing, that heresy that you're teaching, it's not following the truth. It's a heresy. It's off. And then the Bible tells us, well, then how do you fix that in your life? Okay. And then, let's go. And then last one is, and it's for instruction. Okay. So the Bible teaches us biblical truth. It shows us when we err from that truth. It shows us how to fix the problem that we have. And then it goes right back to instruction again, which is back to doctrine. It's practical, okay? It tells us how to live our life as a Christian. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction. Paul wrote this book, right? But when you look at Paul's books that he writes, you'll see that theme in the books. And let me give you an example. Go to the book of Romans. Now, the Romans is the first book that we have in our Bible that Paul writes to the New Testament church. And when you look at the theme of Romans, you'll find out that Romans teaches primarily doctrine, right off the bat. And basically, the doctrine that it's teaching is salvation. It's like a class on salvation 101. Okay? That's Romans. Now, the next book you see after Romans is what? Corinthians. Okay? The church at Corinth, did they have their act together? No, they were messed up. So you kind of see that you've got 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and they somewhat match reproof, because in them he shows them their error. Okay? And in the book of Corinthians, for example, you see divisions in the church. You see envyings, contentions, sexual sin, problems with authority, social and virtual disorders, using spiritual gifts wrong, and wrong attitudes toward our resurrection. There's all kinds of problems with the church at Corinth. And basically, that book is all about reproof where Paul's showing them their error. Okay? And so then we get past Corinthians to the next book. And we are back to Galatians. Okay? Galatians kind of fits in with correction. Because the Galatians church had a problem with legalism, and yet the whole book's kind of about that. And he shows them, basically, not only correction, but he shows them how to fix it. Okay? And then our next book, which is the book we're going to study, is Ephesians. And Ephesians fits right back in here again. Ephesians is like 201. So we have a 101 up here with Romans. We've kind of went through the list. It teaches doctrine. First and Second Corinthians talk about reproof. It shows all the errors going on, and along with Galatians, and you start seeing the corrections on how to fix the false problems they have. And Ephesians comes right back in with instruction again, kind of like Romans. So you kind of see this pattern through Paul's writings. And so it's just interesting how it breaks down that way. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that or not. But you just kind of see Paul's books matching this verse we have in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Okay? And so again, this church in Ephesus was established on Paul's third missionary trip. We see it basically back in Acts chapter 19, 1 through 20. He spent 2.5 years at Ephesus. And that is not only that, he sent Timothy there to pastor. And history tells us that John, the one that wrote Revelation, also pastored in Ephesus. I don't know biblically if we can find that, but historically it says that. So again, I'm just kind of giving you a little format. And so in the book of Ephesians, we're going to see more doctrine. And basically what we find out is in Romans, it's basically all about our salvation. In the book of Ephesians, it's all about what the church is all about. And so again, kind of a second layer of doctrine, a second layer of teaching biblical truth. Okay? And so, I mean, this will break down various ways, but you kind of see the pattern in Paul's writings. Okay? For whatever, you know, you can take that however you want. But I've got just a couple minutes. So the Soldiers of Truth training, and I want to kind of go through that a little bit. So you have a handout for that. And it says, what are God's people going to do together? What do we do? Well, we make Bibles in this place together. We teach and we do Bibles. How are we going to spend our time? And number one, are we being spoon-fed by our pastor or pastors, or are we feeding ourselves? And I'm here to say, if the only Bible teaching you get during the week is when you come to church on Sunday, you're getting ripped. Because I like to eat every day, and so do most of you. And so, but if you're just counting on the pastor to give you Bible information and doctrine, it's not right, because we have, kind of like Roger last week, you know, he asked me a question, and I was kind of rude to him, because I said, hey, you're a smart guy. Go look it up yourself. That's kind of what I said. Maybe not in those words. I felt bad about that after I said that for 30 seconds. Maybe longer than that. I did kind of feel bad about it. Like, I didn't answer. Sometimes I'm a little rough, guys. I don't know if you noticed that. And let me just say this, Roger. He asked me a question about Nimrod. How did I know it when it says he's a mighty hunter that he was hunting men? And it doesn't say he's hunting men. I'm just connecting dots together myself. And so when you go back and study Nimrod, his name means rebel. He's the 13th from Adam. He's called the Assyrian in Isaiah 23:13. He is the one that begins a kingdom, and that kingdom has a false religion in it, and it matches up with Pharaoh, Persia, Greece, and all the other ones. And so, if you want more information on that for the rest of you guys too, there's a book out by the name Hyslop. The man that wrote it, his name is Hyslop. It's called The Two Babylons.
They spell Hyslop.
H-I-S-L-O-P. You can find that book in the library next door. Okay. And when you just start reading things and putting them together, I am fairly confident that this guy was not hunting animals, because he's building a kingdom and he's building cities, and he's going to need some people to do it. So all the people that was from Egypt or Israel that went down into Egypt, before long, they wasn't welcome, were they? They kind of turned them into slaves because they had a job for them to do, and that was to build all the things they had down there. So you can go a little farther than that, but I just thought I'd throw that out there. So in SOT, the class that we're getting ready to do here, it says we're going to trust to shake ourselves from being mediocrity, from the mediocrity that envelops so much of our church life. So when we share what we learn, we motivate, encourage others. And that's what I think I want our class here to do. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I want all of you there, and I want God to say, well done, good and faithful servant, for all of us. And I want you guys, and I want to help you guys to get to that point, and I want you guys to help me to get, I mean, we're all together. It's not like I'm way up here and you guys are down there, except for a couple of us. No. We're all together. Okay, I say stuff like that because, I'm crazy. But anyway. Yeah, I know. Hey, it's just like I said, it's my saying, which you guys hear me say all the time. Well, they don't think like us because they're not normal like us. And people look at me like, now you're just lumping me with you, and we know you're not normal. Hey, we are all the same level. There's no hierarchy in this class. My goal is that when we do stand before the judgment seat of Christ, which will not be that far away, that he is proud, that he is pleased by how we've served him in the time that he's given us. Okay? So, we want our whole class to motivate each other, motivate me, and we want to motivate people and encourage others. Bible study is not as hard as some people would think it is, but what are some of the more common excuses that we see today for not engaging in a personal Bible study? Well, number one, time. I don't have enough time to do that. We don't have enough time. God's given us this book. He's given us our time. We're living for him, not for us. That's the way, I think there's going to be a lot of Christians who wake up when they get to the judgment seat of Christ in heaven and realize, oh, he wanted me to serve him with my time. He wanted me, it was all about doing things for him instead of about doing things for us. And we're all guilty of that, We are all guilty about, I don't have enough time because I do this or that. Well, I guarantee you, you probably watched TV last night. I guarantee you probably, my pastor used to tell me years ago, he goes, when I would use the excuse I didn't have enough time, he goes, you slept last night, didn't you? Yeah. So we don't really skip out on all our sleeping. We don't skip out on certain things we do. So what do we need to be a little more diligent about serving the Lord. And how do we do that? By our reading and our studying would be good. Okay. And so, we just need to do it. Just start somewhere. So you'll never know the mind of God if you only digest fragments through devotionals or somebody else's Bible study. Again, we can't just rely upon Brian's Bible study. He's really good at it. We can't just rely upon it on mine. You're going to be judged for what you do, each one of us, with our Bible study. Okay? And getting to know him. So when you are engaged, you're getting ready to be married to somebody, you spend time with them, right? You want to get to know them. And so same thing with the Lord. We need to spend time with Him. How are you going to do that? Well, number one, you need to have your daily devotional Bible time with the Lord. And so we're just going to put a little structure to that with some things that we're going to get ready to do. So by doing this course, it will help us to be more of a skilled student in the Bible, but it will give us skills to become even a better student, okay? And so Psalms 55, 13 through 14 says, "But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company." So in this verse, it's talking about going in and serving the Lord, but it's just so nice to have people go with you and having friends go with you. And I don't know if you guys have caught this, but I mean, we'll have all types of friends, but some of the dearest friends you're going to have are the ones that you're in ministry with, some that you're in class with, some that you worship with, because it's just sweet when you have somebody with you that you care about and they love you back and you're trying to worship God. And that's what this verse says in Psalms. So the purpose of our course, there's a couple blanks here and I'll probably just stop. The purpose of this course is to provide an avenue of accountability for which the goals of discipleship are engaged to put you in a place of individual consecration. Consecration goes in your second blank.
Can you make the blanks bigger next time?
Yeah.
Write smaller. If you really want to do this, take it home and type in there, and you can get that all in there, right? What's that? Accountability goes in your first one, and consecration is the second one. And applying the results of our study in your ministry. What do you think goes in the last blank? Responsibilities. Okay. And so I don't know if your page is the same as mine, but we'll go through the first goal and we'll call it a day. Goals. The goals center on the accountability of man and worship. The man or woman of God in three areas we're going to be dealing with. Number one, accountability to the Word of God. Word of God goes in your blank. So accountability to the Word of God provides wisdom to the sinner. The task with this goal is to become wise man or woman of God and reinforces the goal one of discipleship. You'll notice what we're going to do here incorporates things we learned in discipleship. Okay? So this isn't just something I've pulled out of a hat somewhere. This is a course that's going to help us do a Bible study collectively, which matches all the goals of our church. Okay? And it says, by providing a personal accountability to the study of Word on a regular basis, we're not looking for a spectacular here. We're looking for a consistent relationship with God's Word. So I'm going to stop right there. And so the book, I will tell you what book we're going to be going through again is the book of Ephesians, if I haven't said that already. And so we're going to just kind of break it down. We're going to be going through it. I'm going to have you do some reading each week. I'm going to have you doing some studying each week and bringing back what you've went through. And this course was designed for a small group. And we're somewhat of a small group, but since we're kind of scattered, we'll just have to take it at a slower pace. But the purpose of this course on Ephesians is to have a Bible study inside this class that we're in. And so it's going to be a little different than our others. It's going to require a little more homework than we've had in the past, but nothing that we can't all do. And so hopefully it'll help us learn. And not once we go through this, hopefully it'll help you with your walk, with your study, with your personal devotion time, to continue that in other areas of the Bible instead of just the book of Ephesians. Okay? So let's go ahead and pray and we'll get into this full blast next week. Father in heaven, we come before you and we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the Bible that you've given to us that has every answer that we need in life. Lord, not only do we know who we are, that we were lost and that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again and paid for our sins, not only does it show us how to get saved, your word shows us how to live our lives and what the purposes you have for us and what goals you have for our life. And Lord, I pray that we as a group would go through this study and it would just help our walk be better, help us to be better servants for you. And I just ask your blessing on it. Pray for all the people on our list that we talked about today that are hurting health-wise. I just pray you'd be in each one of these situations and help the people that are involved to get the right help they need, to get the right support they need. I pray for all of our missionaries and the people we talked about, like Dylan and Brooke, that need to get their visa. I pray that gets done so they can continue on with the missionary they have there in Thailand. Pray that you help them as they move and get all those things done, as well as, you know, being involved in ministry and caring for a little precious little baby, and another one on the way, by the way. So I pray for them specifically, Lord, that you would help them and guide them to get that visa and to get things accomplished that they need to do the mission you have for them. Pray for other missionaries on our list also, that you'd help them also to the same thing as far as getting the things they need done, the finances they had need done. And Lord, I just pray that we would be supporting our missionaries the best way that we possibly can, by prayer and financial support and however else we can. So I pray for that today. I ask that you guide us and direct us today. Give us this week a good week, and just help us to be the servant we need to be for you. So we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I wanted to be early today. I'm not.